Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but didn't have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? If not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This month of November, in which we ponder, as we do every year, the last things, it is important for us to focus on our own death and judgment and the way that we prepare for that meeting. It's not supposed to be something that we're terrorized by. It's supposed to be something that we're looking forward to as an embrace with the one we love more than any other person. That's the way we're supposed to be preparing for this, but at a practical level, that's not the way many of us live. Today's readings are very clear to us both about our desire and our work for that goal. St. Paul tells the Philippians and tells the Fall Riverites, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That word "work out" is the word to finish the job. We've started along that path, but it requires great perseverance to make the end. That word "fear" is the word for holy awe. It's not a servile fear that we're afraid of punishment, but we recognize what we're doing. We recognize the incredible gift this is. It's kind of like if you had a winning Megabucks ticket and you were about to win $400 million. How would you hold that ticket as you were driving over to the election office? You'd take very good care. You'd double check to make sure it's where it ought to be, that you're leaving the house with it, that it's not going to slip up. You're going to be very, very vigilant about it. That's the type of awe that the Lord's asking us to have with regard to our salvation. The trembling is that trembling hand that we know just how precious it is. The worst danger, of course, is for us to take this incredible gift for granted, for us to think it's no big deal. The responsorial psalm, we heard about what our desire, our God-given desire, is supposed to be. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to look on the Lord's loveliness and contemplate his temple." That's got to be the desire that we want to complete with a holy awe, with a reverential fear. But that's not an easy thing to do. To complete that work, we've got to be, in a sense, brutal with ourselves. Jesus calls us to that type of brutality in the gospel. He wants us to count the cost of our discipleship and recognize, having counted that cost, that it's the best bargain we have ever been given in the entire world. That it's like that pearl of great price, that treasure buried in a field, worth everything else in our life combined. So he starts to say, let's get rid of the other gods in our life. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. That word in Hebrew for hate doesn't mean what we mean by hate. He's not calling us to despise those he calls us in the commandments to honor. But that word that is translated hate means knock down a peg, put in second place, because God's supposed to be in first place. This is a thing that is a real challenge for us. A lot of the times we prioritize our life over the life of God. We prioritize the life of our family members over the life of God. When we love God as He deserves in first place, we love our family members not less, but more and more purely. But He's calling us to get those ducks in a row, and that requires courage. He goes on to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me can't be my disciple. Yesterday, St. Paul told us in that first letter to the Philippians that we had to have the mind of Christ, who, even though He was in the form of God, emptied Himself, becoming obedient even to death, death on a cross. If He was God, did this, and He turns to us and says, follow me and have my mind, then that's what we need to be willing to do. We're not going to be able to work out our salvation. We're not going to be able to finish the job unless we're willing to pick up those crosses of each day, unless we're really willing to die to ourselves so that He can triumph. Jesus gives a couple analogies that would be very well known in His time, about the person who starts to build a tower but doesn't finish. This is a person who's not going to complete that work of salvation because they don't think that it's going to cost everything. They think they can get salvation on the cheap. If I can do just these few practices, I can keep my idol and I can keep my old life. Jesus is saying we have to cut the cord from an unholy attachment to things that we put in God's place. Likewise, in the battle of the Christian life, we have to recognize the troops that it requires. The devils who are coming after us, 20,000 troops or more, how are we going to win that battle? We can't win the battle with our hands tied behind our back and our feet in chains and our heart all torn. In order to defeat that enemy, we have to be all in with all of the resources God wants to give us. We have to grasp that, to be willing to pay it. At the very end, Jesus says, in just the same way as these two analogies that I've given you, every one of you who doesn't renounce all his possessions can't be my disciple. That renounce means to sever the ownership that these possessions will have on us, so that we're able to use everything for the Lord's service. If we're not willing to do that, then we're not going to complete the task of salvation. What are our resources? Today, St. Paul, in that first reading, gives us a great message of joy. He tells us that in our working out, in this completing the work of salvation with fear and trembling, God is the one who for His good purpose works in you both to desire and to work. It's God who has placed in us this desire to live in His house all our days. It's God who's placed within us this desire for salvation. God will give us and increase that desire, and He'll also give us His help, St. Paul says, to work out that holy desire. He's going to give us the interior resources. But the one thing we need to do is we need to give Him freely our response. You know, there are people, for example, we've met them in our life, who when they go to the doctor and the doctor gives them the diagnosis and the doctor says you're going to get better but you just have to take this prescription, we know that there are people who, I don't really need the prescription. They're not going to get better unless they take the medicine. The doctor can do his entire work, but there's a response in freedom. Likewise with us in the faith, God's given us the medicine of immortality, but we have to take it. We have to freely work out the gift of salvation that He has already given in doing precisely the things Jesus said in the gospel. St. Paul gives us seven conditions in order to be able to do that. First is, do everything without grumbling or questioning. We know how the Israelites, even though they were freed from Pharaoh's clutches, were grumbling the entire journey toward the Holy Land. A lot of the times we can grumble. Yes, Lord, I know that You want to lead me to heaven, but boy, I've got to give up chocolate. I'm not sure I can do it. Or I've got to turn off the television a little bit more. Or all of these other things that the world says we Christians are crazy for. No, no grumbling. If we recognize what we're receiving, we would never complain. That you may be blameless and innocent. Lord wants us to be pure of heart. He wants us to be forgiven of our sins. He wants us to live not as slaves who are only doing the right thing on the outside for the reward, but children of God without blemish, he says. So that what? In the midst of a crooked generation and a perverse one, we will shine like lights in the world. God wants us to go out and illumine the world with him as he's living within us. As you hold on to the word of life, that word of life is the roadmap all the way toward finishing that gift of salvation. But we need constantly to hunger for that word and to get to know that word. And then he says at the very end, as he's being poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of our faith, I'll get back to that in a second, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you in the same way you should rejoice and share your joy with me. That if we're going to be working out this salvation the right way, if we're going to be seeking the fulfillment of the desire to dwell in the Lord's house all our days, then it's going to be a joyful working out. It's going concomitant with our fear and trembling. It's going to be an opportunity to share our joy at that gift of salvation. Because it's the person who recognizes what salvation is who recognizes the cost is really a bargain. It's only those who don't really grasp the unbelievable gift of salvation who focus on what they need to give up rather than what they're going to gain. St. Paul used that expression, being poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith. In the pagan sacrifices, and also the Jewish ones, they would pour out some wine at the beginning and the end of the sacrifice to show that the gift of wine had come from the Lord and that it was making that sacrifice a little bit more costly, a little bit more precious. St. Paul was pouring out his own blood on the Philippians' sacrifice of themselves to God. He was, in a sense, giving his whole life so that they could give their whole life. That's precisely what happens in the Eucharist, but it's far more than St. Paul's blood. Jesus pours himself out like a libation so that the sacrifice of ourselves to God the Father may be brought to completion. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it with our free response to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.